Coming up in this episode of the KitCast, it is an episode of upgrades. We have a wall plate that will light your way, a Bluetooth speaker willing to take a dive, and laser tag goes to the next level. So sit back and relax. It is time for the KitCast. Hey everybody, it is time for another episode of the KitCast. I am KT Data, and joining me is a man whose shooting skills are so legendary, he shows up to watch a filming, and they ask him to film. It is the one and only Drew Tyler. How are you doing, Drew?
Very good. It's true. In fact, I think somebody even the other day was like, aren't you embarrassed when he lauds your skills so much at the beginning of the show? And I'm like, I guess I should be, because you really milk it. But yes, it's true. I show up to a shooting where I thought I was totally just going to consult and sit back and watch, and they're like, hey, jump on the camera. And I oblige, because I love that stuff. Good to be here.
So it's true. I'm not embellishing. It's all true. I don't know what you're talking about. This is how I see it. They're through my glasses.
Totally accurate. Absolutely accurate.
If you guys have never seen the KitCast before, first of all, welcome. And what Drew and I do is we go out into the world of crowdfunding platforms, Indiegogo, Kickstarter, GoFundMe, and we find cool projects that we want to bring back and show you, and we tell you if you back, track, or sack them.
We're your personal shoppers, but without the shopping part.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, if you only have half an hour, we are the guys to do it for you. So before we jump into our projects, how about we jump into some news? And the biggest news that has happened so far is Kickstarter has had
$1 billion.
Yes, that's right. Billion with a B, an Instagram, as I like to call it now. I don't even call it billion anymore. It's one entire Instagram worth of pledges on there.
Nice. That's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And they did it on Monday, I think. And they've been talking about it. And 5.7 million people, Drew and I included, have pledged on projects.
How much would you say that you, I don't know if I should ask this, how much do you think you've put into that $1 billion? If I were to look at it, I bet I'm probably close to 700-800, which I feel okay with that.
I would say probably closer to at least 2,000 on
there. You just did a huge one too, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I just backed lights for the studio, and that was 1,000 itself. Yep. But yeah, I tend to back the, like, higher tiers too, because when you put words like limited edition in this project only, I tend to go for those because that's what I do.
That's you too, T. That's awesome.
Yeah. On their website, if you haven't been there as of late, they've kind of put a lot of kind of facts on there. What's interesting alone is this right here. Within the 12 months alone was more than half of that $1 billion. So we've seen the growth of Kickstarter, and I can't see it slowing down.
Yeah, we've been on that train. This is amazing. And the idea, and we've seen this catch on with dozens of little tiny sites that have kind of picked up the idea of crowdfunding, and they're doing it with clothes, they're doing it with food, they're doing it with, didn't we do one on porn? Like, there's just like
adult content.
Sorry, adult content. I stand corrected.
One of the most interesting things is, I don't know why, but apparently, speaking of adult content, Hump Day, Wednesday, seems to be the most popular day for people to pledge. My theory is people are bored at work, and they're on Kickstarter more than they're actually doing their jobs on Wednesday.
Wednesday would be the ideal day for that.
That, and I also attribute that to that the show coming out on Wednesday, and people are like, I want it.
That's a good one. I think that's what it is. Our crowd just says, oh, time to back it, and they, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're talking about me making up facts, that is definitely one of them.
We have a following, I'm sure we do.
On there. So congrats to Kickstarter for $1 billion. I can't see this slowing down anytime soon. So that's where we are.
Very, very cool.
So one of the things that we kind of like to mention on the KitCast is to give people tips and ideas on how to create projects and, you know, what things they need to do. And one of the things that we have always mentioned is having a community, being able to talk to people, and to do that is social media, of course. It's a thing now. It's not just those kids posting up pictures of that and everything. So there's actually an article in Entrepreneur magazine, because, well, you pretty much are an entrepreneur if you're doing a Kickstarter project. And it gives you tips on what to do with social media when you're launching a crowdfunding project. And one of the things that I've found interesting about it is that it says there are three accounts you should have. You should have a Twitter, mm-hmm. a Facebook, mm-hmm. and a LinkedIn. Some of you people are going, LinkedIn, what?
Yeah, that's me. What?
They actually make a good point, though, because LinkedIn is, if you guys have not heard of it, is pretty much a social network for people business. In industry, business, you know,
like looking for a job. Guys.
Yeah.
Looking for a job.
Yeah, but what's good about that is you can start joining communities of people who have similar interests, and they have that business mindset already, so you can make connections with people, and they might think it's cool too. I found out there's a lot of geek people on LinkedIn. The community is really vibrant on there. And of course, Facebook and Twitter, that's where everybody is. There's one piece of advice that I don't agree with in this article. They say you should have your Facebook and your Twitter account linked to each other, and that you should be tweeting 10 to 15 times a day.
Thereby posting to your Facebook 10 to 15 times a day?
Either way. That's a little bit much if you're smaller. You might be able to get away with it if you're a Toyota or LeBron James or Justin Bieber, but if you're a little bit smaller, you're going to annoy people.
Yes, like 3 or 4 times a day is about right, I think.
Yeah, and most social media experts I know say you shouldn't have your Twitter and your Facebook account linked, even though I have it on mine that way.
You've never been one to listen, though.
It's just not a, you know, the way you communicate is different on both of them. So I understand what they're getting at on there. So I wouldn't do that, but they have some great information in there. Of course, they say start building your following before you start your project, weeks, if not months ahead.
We've talked about that a lot.
Yeah, that's big. My suggestion is sites like Prefundia, where you can almost post your Kickstarter page on a site and kind of drum up stuff from there. That's something you might kind of want to look at. And then create a list of core supporters. I know you did this, Drew.
Yes.
Is find people who are going to be willing to back your project and spread the word right when you launch out there. Those will be your evangelists.
Yeah, you've got to have the gears running before you hit start, because if you wait to make that action happen after you've started this countdown timer of 30 days, 40 days, you're wasting time. You got to get those people in line at the starting gate to say, when we launch, you post these articles and you guys all jump in and add the money. So this Prefundia is an excellent way to do that and get everybody kind of reared and up to go at the same time.
Yeah, and another great tip is they say have your posts already written and already scheduled before your project even launches. So that way you're not, you know, going, oh crap, what am I going to put in my next update to these people? What am I going to do? The whole idea is to keep your project going, have people still talk about it, and just constantly for that whole month, all they're talking about is your project, and that's how you're going to get the word out. And the final bit of advice they give you, and I think this is important, is always interact and talk with people. I love all these projects where they're willing to take time to respond out. You'd guys be surprised how floored I am when I send messages to some of these projects and they write back and they're like, oh, thank you so much. And I'm like, that's cool. You know, it shows that you care about your project and you're not just letting it there and saying, I'll check back in a month to see if I got all my money.
Yeah, totally. I backed one I worked on one probably a year and a half ago. And the, I guess the guy that was managing and running the Kickstarter, the campaign, I did a video and kind of watched it as it went. It didn't really go as quickly or as fast as he wanted to. And this is probably even a year before you and I started helping with this. But then I went back and read through the comments, and there were multiple comments that were saying, hey, if you just let us know what's going on, hey, if you could just talk to us. Like, they were begging for an update. They were begging for something to come from this, from the guy that kicked off the campaign. And without any feedback, it just petered out, and, you know, he never made his goal.
Yeah, so this is a great article. Make sure you guys check it out. And, social media, Drew and I, we like doing that too. So
yes.
Always shoot us a line. We love it. All right, let's jump into our projects, Drew.
I got some good ones tonight. Yeah. Good ones, some throwaways, but some good ones.
We have some really good ones. So have you ever had this problem, Drew, when you or maybe your kids have had this problem, but it's the middle of the night. You need to go to walk to the bathroom.
Nope.
It's dark. You don't want to turn on the lights and wake up the family. And then bam, you just run into a chair or you just run into the corner of the wall or something before.
Step on your kids' Legos. You know what I'm talking about.
On there. So the solution, of course, is to get a nightlight.
Yes, but the problem, I have many.
Yeah, the problem with those nightlights is most of them take up a plug. And so I've found myself where I've unplugged it to plug something else in, forgot to put the nightlight back in. And guess what I step on? The nightlight. on here. So
we have one where we plug in our vacuum, and I have one outlet in my whole house that I can reach the entire house. So it is the vacuum outlet because I can vacuum the whole house off one outlet. But it's also right in the middle of the hallway, and so we have this nice like guide light that shows off everything. And it's always laying on the floor because we're always vacuuming.
Yeah.
I step on it.
So yeah, the project right here is the SnapRaise guide light.
So cool.
And so this actually follows kind of, everybody remembers the Thing charger that we kind of showed. I love that. I'm still waiting for mine. I can't wait because they're putting it. But the SnapRaise guide light is actually a nightlight that is the cover plate of your plug. So it doesn't go into your plug. It just replaces the cover plate. So the little molding that's around the plug that you see, you just replace that.
Why did nobody think of this?
And it has LEDs on the bottom that light up when it gets dark. There's a sensor in there that detects it on there.
I can't believe nobody else thought of this. This is a brilliant Thing Charger-esque style of like, let's make this this multiple uses out of this outlet.
So, Drew, but you know, people are going like, oh, but how's it getting power? Do I have to do some special wiring and whatnot? Because yes, that's 120 volts going through it.
I thought the same thing. And what they've done is quite genius. Like, I wondered, do they got little batteries in there I'm going to have to change every so often? Like, what's keeping it going? But if you keep scrolling down, there is amazing, like, just the way they put this together is brilliant. They have this patented clasp, almost. There it is. Where those little, they call them power extraction technology. Those things clip right around the base of your outlet and hit the power nodes and power that light. And it only draws, like, what is it, like, milliamps. I mean, tiny bit.
Because LEDs don't take much power. And I think they said it costs about 10 cents a year to run.
Yeah, at one point it says 10 cents, and then I think in the video it's 10 cents, and down even lower in their page it says it's closer to 5 cents, so it's like, it's not that much.
Where'd it go? I love it. They come in different colors, too, depending on what you have. You know, if you have a white or you have the almond that's in between white or ivory.
I like to say the modernized house or the old grandma house, because that's where I go for me, the yellow versus the white.
Hey, I have those grandma house plates in my house. I'm just
that's
saying.
What it feels like. But this is amazing. I mean, it's just a simple, easy process. I think they have a video that shows him doing that swap out of the plate in like less than 25 seconds. Yeah. It is one screw off, put the SnapRaise guide light in, screw it back in, and then when the lights go out, it just bing. Yeah.
It works great. There's only one type of socket that doesn't work. It's the GFCI ones. It's the ones that you usually see in the bathroom that have the red and black buttons, and it's usually there to keep from shorting out in case you get water in there.
Kitchens and bathrooms. And I would expect that most of those places that you have GFIs, you also have a secondary one, you know, around somewhere.
Yeah. Close. So those are the only ones that don't work, but everything else is pretty much workable. And I love it. You know, there's three things that I love about this. One, it's from Utah. Go Utah.
Yes.
We haven't featured a Utah project in a while. How easy is it to install? I don't think you need to turn off the power.
I'm sure they encourage it.
Yeah, but you know.
It's probably that easy.
Dealing with wires and me cutting is something I really don't want to do. and it doesn't block outlets, so I still can plug stuff in. I know it's going to light up. It's all automatic. I don't have to worry about turning it on or off. It just takes care of it for me. You know, we're good to go.
Yeah, one of my favorite things in this house that I bought when we first bought it, and we walked through during the day many times, but when we actually like moved in, I looked underneath all the counters, and I have little LEDs under my counters in the kitchen and on top, and we went and bought a timer. And one of my favorite things about this house is that when it goes dark, these little tiny blue lights, kind of ambient light in the kitchen, lights up, so I can midnight snack it. So I'm all about these nightlights. I even got the Nest Protect for Christmas, which has a little path light, so when it detects motion, you're walking under it, it lights up the hallway a little bit. So this is so up my alley. This is so perfect.
Yeah, I love this idea. So, Drew, do I have to even ask?
I've already backed it. I'm already back. In fact, I even tweeted that out. I was like, I should be prepping for the show right now, but no, I'm backing projects.
Yeah.
It's like three pack coming on my way.
Yeah, this is definitely a back too, and I am excited. I love this. Such a genius idea. So that is the Snap Raise Guidelight. Help this guy reach his goals.
I mean, yeah, where is that right now? He's
he is actually that number was a lot lower when I checked it earlier today.
His goals are being reached, so yes. Jump on the bandwagon, yes. And get yours.
Jump on, because I think he has some early bird kits, so I think I need to back this one after I finish the show. That is the Snap Raise. So, Drew, now that we've managed to get you to your bathroom,
yes,
through the darkness by using one of these Snap Raise, you're in the bathroom getting ready, and you're about to jump over into the shower.
And what I like to have in my shower and have not been able to do in my shower is I would love to listen to music in the shower. Now, I have little girls, I have kids, but I still like to listen to Macklemore. I still like to, break out some fat bottom girls sometimes. I want my music when I have my alone time, my me time, and that would be shower time. So I've often brought my phone into the bathroom and laid it as close to the shower as I can, never satisfied. So the Squeal. It's a water-resistant Bluetooth speaker. The sand-resistant, water-resistant, kind of go-everywhere-do-anything Bluetooth speaker, which we've seen Bluetooth speakers. This one is rated for like 30 minutes in water up to a meter deep. And I don't know why. Again, it's not like I'm going to go swimming with these things, but you probably could. So I'm just really impressed by the Squeal, and I love the idea of taking my music into dangerous places. Put my phone in my pocket or leave my phone, in the next room. I can go in the shower and still have music, shooting at me right there in the shower. It doesn't hurt that half of their video is girls in bikinis on a boat. I don't know if that had anything to do with my
Kickstarter video tip.
Yeah, right. If only. But I think for me, it feels like Bluetooth speaker makes sense for me, but I've never picked up any of the the big ones, the Jawboxes or any of those, just because I'm happy to dock my phone and charge it at the same time. This idea to have something that's robust, large, and just protective, I totally would love to take this into some of those more dangerous situations. So I like it. This is definitely a track for me at this point because it's still pricey. What is it? Probably close
the early bird is $79.
Which then they claim to retail at $140 when they $140. So yeah, it's a great deal to get on it. $140, I'd never do it. $70, I would totally support and back the project, hoping that they hit their goal. They're about a fifth of the way there.
Yeah, look, they say they have the magic word right here. This is only available for the Kickstarter campaign.
Kickstarter only. What are your thoughts on this?
I like it. This is going to become really nerdy, but my only concern is how it sounds.
Right, no, I agree.
I'm an audiophile by nature, so I tend to kind of look for this. I like the price. It's about the price of most of those boxes that are that size on there.
Yeah.
I like how it's portable, and then I like how durable it is, so you can kind of take a beating. Because sometimes, you take a jam box and I'm like, I'm going to be a little careful with that. I don't know if I want to damage that or not on there.
Yeah. Audio quality is definitely a question mark for me because there's no screws. You got to find a way to seal everything up, including that speaker area, and that's where you get your bass. I don't know. I'd question this. Yeah.
The only knock that I would probably have for this is the charger, but it's a necessary evil if you're gonna make it waterproof. You're gonna have to carry an extra charger like I do with the Pebble. Mm-hmm. On there. But that's really minor to me. To me, it's a track. Just because, if I knew how the sound quality sounded, but you really can't test that unless you're in person on there. But for the right person, I think this is awesome.
I'm with you.
All right.
The Squeal.
And that was the Squeal. So, Drew, now we've kind of taken the shower. We're all freshened up.
How did you come up with this stuff? Ready to go.
The next thing we got to do is, we're out to play because you're out, you're ready, you're clean, you're ready to go hang out with the boys and stuff.
Ready to go.
I know you just barely did this. You went out and played some paintball on there.
And I still regret it. I still have welts.
Yeah. I like playing, airsoft, but with both paintball and airsoft, you kind of have that drawback of doing the honor system, making sure people stop if they got hit or not.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you get welts with airsoft. Do you get welts?
Oh, you get much welts that hurt much more because you're shooting plastic BBs at each other.
Because they're smaller. Yeah. Wow.
And that gets expensive. The ammo gets expensive after a while.
Yes. In fact, when we went and played paintball, it was for our group. I probably paid close to $200 for 15 of us to play for a couple of rounds. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, the alternative is laser tag. You know, you're only wearing a vest and you're running around. You don't have to pay for ammo.
The drawback there, I've always played laser tag, and I like to play laser tag, is that you've got to go to like a classic skating, and you're locked into this kind of tiny room with their system. And I've never played outside of those things, but...
Yeah, so our final project of the night, the Skirmos, if I can read this right.
Skirmos.
Yeah, the Skirmos combines both of them together by creating an open source laser tag system. So it's fully customizable on there. There's actually an LED screen that's built on the Skirmos, and it can display anything you want. You know, if you want it to show how much ammo you have, you can do it. It shows you how much health points you have.
That's cool.
A countdown timer on there. You can actually you can change your game mode, so you can do capture the flag. So designate a GPS area where you're in, or an area, and it can keep track of how long you've been there. You get points and stuff. You can do free for all. It's essentially taking all the options that you could do in Halo or Call of Duty with the custom game options and bringing it into real life without having to worry too much about the logistics, because you just got a gun right there.
Looks pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, the video they have with the lit up gun and it feels very Halo-esque just looking at it, yeah. Being able to see that mounted. Yeah, I do love that animated GIF.
Yeah, that is way cool on there. And you know what I love about it is that it's not, people are like, oh, how do you customize the game types and stuff? And people are going like, do I have to be like a hardcore programmer or anything?
That's what I would worry about.
Not really, because it's based on the Arduino programming platform. That sounds a little complicated, but Arduino was designed to be simple and easy for people to pick up. And that's why it's one of the most popular kind of gaming platforms out there, or development platforms out there. So they did that. Plus, they're going to have a website where people can post their kind of game types, and you can download it and put it on your own Skirmos on there. So don't worry about it. Somebody else is going to do
somebody
it.
Somebody
sure.
Yep, that's the kind of guy I am.
I love it. And it's light. If you want to go out and play Capture the Flag, now you don't have to worry about bringing a flag. Just bring your Skirmos. And if you're going to go play anyways, that's what you're going to take.
I love the idea, and I think it's a lot of fun, especially the open source, being able to make these games. I'd love to see this like tied in with the AR drone and some of those other things that have this kind of open source platform that meant for gameplay. But I have some concerns.
So what are your concerns?
For me, and I know they address this in their page, but I still, as soon as I watched that and I saw the kid like creeping along the train tracks and he's running like he has a gun, to me, I still see that is a threat, or at least it looks dangerous. Like, yeah. It looks to me like you're running around with a gun. Yes, it's lit up in blue, and it's not designed like any particular gun, but from my untrained eyes, I go, that's a kid with a gun. And, I would probably pretty quickly realize that it's a gaming, it's a game type of gun. But I guess for me, it's... I still worry. I'm from the news business. I've heard all the stories of, kids caught because they were, playing around with their airsoft guns in the middle of a school, and so they all got, locked down and shot at. So, I don't know. I still worry about that, but it's true. They did go to the lengths to design this to make it look like a non-gun.
Yeah, and plus these are still prototypes. They're still tweaking it. They're still working on it. I'm pretty sure they're just, they have the mandatory orange tip, but who knows? They might even make it even more obnoxiously orange on there. But just like with airsoft guns and paintball guns, use some discretion where you're going to play this.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, just be smart about it. You'd probably be just fine.
Yeah. And I love it. And the price is spot on for laser tag systems.
Is it?
Yeah. So it sounds like it's a little expensive at $100. But if you go look at laser tag systems, that's how much the ones with the vests and everything on there. This one, you don't have to have vests. There's sensors on it and everything, so you don't have to worry about, losing a vest and you can't use the gun without it.
How do you hit somebody? Like, you have to hit the other person's gun? Like,
yeah, you're aiming at the gun. And I think their range is, they got like 400 some odd feet out, and they're working on like sniper attachments and stuff. So you can get that. I love it, and it's not really lasers, even though people call it. It's really IR light, so you're not going to blind each other and all that. Because I know people worry.
So lasers would be a lot of fun too.
I don't know, Drew. Is this a back track or sack to you?
I'll track it, and the reason why I think it's been of the concern, and that is that especially at this level of Kickstarter, you're looking at at this point, and they're doing well. They're well on their way, 30 days, and they're halfway there. But 167 backers, and a handful of them are at that higher level where they have 3 and 4 guns apiece. But you're looking at maybe 500 guns that are out there. Mm-hmm. So unless you buy 4 and you know where you're playing and who you're playing with, it's going to be small pockets to start with. So for me, it's a track, and I hope it happens and that it goes retail sooner rather than later. Because this, yes, I'd pick this up and play, but I don't know that I'm that forward thinking that I was going to do this with 3 of my friends right here, right now. So for me, it's definitely a track, but I'm going to wait until it hits the larger retail stores to be like, oh yeah, I know 10 people in my area that have Skirmos already. You know what I mean? That's just me, but I played paintball for the second time in 10 years and still got hurt.
Yeah. For me, it's a back. Let's play a game. Which level do you think I'm going to back this one at?
No, I know you, and I know that you're not going to go for the single gun pack, the early limited special, and I'm pretty sure that while you may consider doing 2 Skirmos so you can at least play with one other person, you're kind of a social butterfly, and I could see you saying, let's just play together and getting 4 guns so that you and all your friends. So I'm saying you're going to the 390 level.
Yep, I would go for the 4.
The 4, yep. Just, 4 pack.
Just because, like, I love this idea, and it actually finally has done something that I don't understand why, but it's actually, evolved the home laser tag systems. I have a home laser tag system from maybe early 2000s, late 99s on there, and you go into the stores, and the laser tag systems there are barely any different. Actually, some of them now use iPhones and stuff, so you got to have an iPhone on top of having the laser tag system. That's a lot Price, more. That's a lot more than 100 per gun on there. And of course, 4 people, man, 4 player free for all. Yeah. I have enough cousins where
we can
be
a 4-man
team on there, and
I'll come play with you.
And it's glowing LEDs.
That's something right there. Just to be real, running around the neighborhood with glowing LEDs. I'm so practical, though. I'd probably have to go, like, every house in my neighborhood and, like, leave a note or knock on the door and be like, play some gun games tonight. Like, my neighbor kids play all the time airsoft around here, and I tell my girls to stay inside so they don't get hit. But with this, I would still feel, like, obligated to be like, okay, it's going to be weird, but we're going to run around with alien guns.
I'm a nut. Yeah, so that is a Skirmos, and I really want it, but I don't know if I can afford to do it. But
with the big amazing machine that you just bought, I don't know,
but I have 30 days to decide on here.
You have some time. You just, and it looks like they're doing very well. I mean, they're, like I said, nearly halfway there, 30 days to go. They keep that energy up and keep having people invite people, especially those that are like, hey, I just backed this, if you back it as well, we can build a team.
Eight-man death match in real life.
Yep.
So, what's sad though, it's game over for this episode of the KickCast.
Oh, man, we were going strong. We did like almost 30 minutes of this.
Yeah, we went through the whole entire thing, and I'm kind of sad about that. But
we're so fast.
Yeah, it just went way too fast. So
it was so smooth with their new machine. Can I just say that I was this close to driving down to your house and just coming in and being like, I'm doing it live right here because I want to watch you work. I want to see it all happen. And then you told me there's no room in your studio.
Yeah, so if you guys have watched the KickCast, especially the video version, you've noticed it's been choppy. I've been doing a lot of studio upgrades for that, so hopefully it's a lot better for you guys now. But if you guys have any projects that you want to talk to us about, tell us why the Skirmos is a good idea, a bad idea, or any of the projects, anything, send us an email at kickcast@ktdata.net.
Yep, if you want to back the squeal and put yourself in a boating video, we'd love to see it.
And then also, if you are on Facebook, make sure you like us right there.
Facebook.com/kickcast
on there. And then if not, if you follow us on Twitter, you know how much we love Twitter. You can follow us there too, at night20, at kickcast, and at ktdata.
Yes, please.
On there. And one thing that I honestly forget to do every single time, when we do this is please subscribe to us. If you watch us on YouTube,
if you
listen to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on any of them, please subscribe to us.
Where did you get the pillow pack? Was that something you packed as well?
And then, of course, make sure you poop, because everybody does it. I actually have to do a review on these pretty soon.
I got because nothing.
If you go back, those are the throwboy pillows that we talked about that Robert Hoyos did. I finally got them. They're amazing. I love them. And this is how I'm ending every single video I do now, is with those pillows, because they're amazing on there.
That is fantastic. Yeah.
So if you want to find that review, or if you want to find this episode and you're like, oh, where do I go to get the Squeo? Just head on over to kickcast.net. Our show notes are right there. Click on them. They'll take you there, everywhere on there. If you want to watch live, watching live is awesome. The Mr. Hawks from Drew's new podcast, The Little Big Cast.
Oh, is Mr. Hawks
he's watching in the chat room right now. You know, you can always come join us, talk, listen. And, you know, we try to read the chat room and talk with people too. So that is awesome. You can find that at live.kickcast.net. Our next show will be March 18th, 2014. And it's going to be a blast on there. Drew.
It's good.
Thank you so much, especially with all the technical difficulties we had earlier, for being here. It is such a blast. I honestly never know where the time goes on there. I'm super excited. And do you got anything to plug before I forget?
Oh, I'll throw out all sorts of stuff. But really, just if you love gaming and you like listening to me more, if you want more of me, check out Little Big Cast. We do it weekly, and we're planning on some pretty fun stuff this next week, hopefully, because it's our spring break for me and the guys I'm doing it with. So we're hoping to get a live audience into the studio and live stream us playing Outlast, which is one of those scary, creepy games, and put some cameras on us to show off our scared faces as we go through it. The game has this reputation of nobody being able to finish it or wanting to finish it because it is so surprise, jumpy, screamy. I don't know. There's a fear there. So I'm kind of excited because I'm a jumpy guy. So we figured if it's this crazy and one of our crew has played it, we're all going to get together and play it together so that we can laugh at each other's wiener-ishness. So anyway, yeah, Little Big Cast. It's going to be awesome. Plus that's all of our technical difficulties tonight to kind of slowly get us started. That's cutting into my edit time because I was actually going to throw out a video portion from our latest podcast. We're 3 episodes in already.
Ooh, fancy.
It's like little baby episodes.
Yeah, so make sure you guys check that out. That is also on the ktdata.net network. So it's there, just ktdata.net. And I'm pretty sure that URL is going to get pointed there eventually.
Yes, hell yeah.
That you have. So guys, thank you for watching at home. I appreciate all of it. You guys, big, big love from me.
Big love.
Internet hug. And we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.